Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
Hi, this is Zoe Routh, and this is episode 10 of the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, and I'm here today with Peter Gordon of Hands Across Canberra. And Peter is going to be a table host at our event, The Edge of Leadership, coming up in March 2017. And some lucky people are going to get to spend a couple of interactions with him, drilling down on what social contribution and business can do together in the community. And I'm so excited to hear his story. So welcome to the podcast, Peter.
Zoe, pleasure to be here.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about your background and your current role?
I am a Canberran. Sort of, I did my last 3 years of school here, and I've been here sort of on and off ever since. Longest time I've spent 6 years in Perth, after and also lived in Bangkok for a little while. But yeah, Canberra's home. I've worked for the federal government, the ACT government, and the West Australian government. And for the last 10 years, I've worked for myself. So I set up a company called Economic Futures, which is a consulting business, working essentially in the space between universities, training organisations, research organisations, and the rest of the world, after identifying the fact that universities generally weren't very good at doing business. And so we sort of did a lot of work in that space, formed research coalitions, that sort of thing. And for the last 6 years, I've also run, at the same time, Hands Across Canberra.
Okay, so tell us, what is Hands Across Canberra? How did you set it up, and what's its purpose?
Hands Across Canberra was my idea. It wasn't, sadly. A friend of mine, Sandra Lambert, was up until 6 years, 5 or 6 years ago, the CEO of the Community Services Department here. She and I had worked together previously. And she just got back from a trip to America, and sitting in the plane, realising that even if the government gave her three times as much money to do what the Community Services Department needed to do, it still wouldn't be enough. So it dawned on her, not unreasonably, that we needed to activate the community. So when she got back, straight off the plane, she rang me and a couple of others and said, we need to talk. So Sandra and I and a couple of others sat down and sort of worked through the issues, what she was thinking about. We said, okay, so how do we activate the community? What does that mean? What do community service organisations, what do they need? So we ran a series of seminars with charities, service providers, asking them what they needed. They were a little bit incredulous to start with, if you like.
Incredulous because people were asking what they actually needed.
Budgets, government budgets are always tightening and they're under threat. You know, governments want to deal with a fewer number of larger charities and larger organisations, service organisations. Anyway, so we had this series of workshops and it came down to three specific needs that they had. Firstly, they needed the opportunity to become less invisible. In other words, to become their need and their opportunity to be identifiable in the community. They needed money, of course. But they also needed professionalisation, whether it's professionalising of their boards, professionalising of their staff, whatever it might be. But the whole capacity building is the euphemism that is used in the sector. So they needed visibility, money and professionalism, capacity building. So then we set up a structure, the Hands Across Canberra structure came out of that. So we started with this idea of a government leader saying she couldn't do it all on her own. And the government shouldn't be required to do it on its own anyway, which is generally accepted. Talking to the service organisations themselves to get a very practical sense of what they needed. And then we formed a structure after that. So the Hands Across Canberra Foundation was set up. We went through the normal processes of tax deductibility and constitutional formation and all that sort of thing. And we've been going 6 years and this year, we feel as though we're sort of almost made it. Last year was in the startup, the tech startup world. There's a period of time after formation where the founders get to the point of they look at each other and they look straight across the valley of death. Most startups actually end up in the valley of death and never survive. We survived that, which I think was about this time last year, and as a result of some really major initiatives, particularly the Master Builders Association building a couple of houses in our name in Deakin, a stupendously successful lunch. The guest speaker at which was the Melbourne Lord Mayor's Charitable Foundation CEO, so that's our role model. They've got $200 million that they use. They've got the ability to spend $9 or $10 million a year in grants. They're at the forefront of social innovation, and that's where we want to be in 50 years' time.
Fantastic. So rewind a little bit. I'm curious about the Master Builders Association project. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how Hands Across Canberra fits into the picture with them?
The Master Builders Association is a leadership organisation in the building industry. They have had in their relatively recent history, the last 6 or 7 years, have built previously 2 houses for charity as their contribution to the community. Relatively modest, comparatively, outcomes. You know, I think the first house made the surplus of $100,000 or $200,000. The second one made a surplus of about, I think, $500,000. As a result of a whole series of influences, the government donated 2 blocks of land, 2 adjoining blocks of land to them in Deakin for their latest charity house project. And the world's just aligned beautifully. So the government was embarrassed because they mucked around too long, so therefore they gave them 2 good blocks of land in Deakin instead of a, you know, modest block of land in Belonglo or, you know, some of those other suburbs that we don't even know where they are. The builder that demanded the right to do this project on behalf of the MBA was Renaissance Homes. Stupendously terrible story about the founder of Renaissance Homes. They're a large, really large Canberra home builder, set up by the Kerrick family. Lord Kerrick, who's the father, fit, healthy, charming man, 3 years ago was on his bike doing an exercise on a Sun push bike, went around the corner and crashed into another cyclist, quadriplegic. The most terrible, devastating story. Anyway, as a result of that, the Kerrick family know what it's like to have a loved one completely incapacitated in Sydney in hospital for a long time and wouldn't have been able to come back to Canberra except for the fact that Hartley Life Care was there and was able to assist, and then they had the resources themselves as a family to provide all the services that a person in that condition would need. So they, because of their personal tragic circumstance, they know how people in the community are just one, you know, pedal stroke away from being in the hands of community organisations. So Andrew Kerrick, who now runs the business with Mark Newman, said he wanted to do it. So he project managed the building of the 2 most beautiful houses, and the total sale price was about $3 million for the 2 houses, and the total cost, because the suppliers and the subcontractors almost virtually donated everything for free. So the total cost of the building was about $800,000. Mm. So the surplus was $2.2 million, which comes straight into our accounts, and it's the biggest single donation in Canberra's community history, full stop.
That's just an extraordinary story of people caring and wanting to do something for the community. And I love how the profits go into Hands Across Canberra so that it can be leveraged across many charity organisations.
Yeah.
So how many charities does Hands Across Canberra actually support?
We have 150 charities registered with us. Support, you know, I don't know what support means, you
okay.
know. We love them all, so that's there's that support. So the idea of being in an emerging network with your leadership conversations, we want to have Hands Across Canberra be at the centre of all that. So it's not just support money going out, but it's look to leadership and guidance and connections. And so the 150 charities, we give away, $100,000 a year or so in direct grants to about 10 or 15 charities a year. That'll increase now that we've got more money. So our plan is to try and find a way to spend about $1 million a year directly into the community, invest some, and create a corpus over time which looks after itself.
That's amazing. So MBA, Master Builders Association, has a big role to play in that. So does the individual business. So I'm curious about your perspective on how business can and might connect to community. So where do you see the link, and how do you see it working?
One of the great things about doing what I do is that not one person that I've ever spoken to has asked me why I'm doing it. Because once you sit back and think, so you're saying that the Canberra should look out for itself. Yep. Businesses have got a part to play in that. Yep. Individuals have got a part to play. Everyone's got a part to play. So I've done lots of jobs. You know, we've all done lots of jobs in life, and people say, why are you doing this? Your event in March. Some people would say, why are you bothering, you know? Not one person, not one human being of the thousands of people I've spoken to, bored them senseless about what I'm doing, has said, you're not doing the right thing. Or somebody else has got that covered, or, you know, you're wasting your time. No, not one person. So the opportunity to turn that lack of negative, if that's a proper word, is that English?
I don't know. lack of negativity.
Yeah. Into action. Yeah, I think that's my trick, is to convert people saying, oh, fair enough, into, okay, what do you want me to do? So if I can get 300,000 people in Canberra to say, I have done something, not I have thought a good thought, I have actually done something, we're home and host.
I'm curious about that question, actually. What goes from a good thought into action? Because clearly you're a man of action. You know, you took this idea of Hands Across Canberra and actually brought it to fruition and have done something with it. So if we're talking about people who have the same calling, same passion to make a difference, and yet are still sitting in having a good thought and good intention, what do you think takes, what does it take to actually tip somebody over into taking action?
Yeah, the right question.
The right question. And what is the right question?
I don't know. I wish I knew that you're going to help me with that. So you came. We were allowed to talk about the lunch.
Yeah.
So we every year we have this big grand lunch at the National Gallery, and they've been great supporters of ours ever since inception, really. And this year we did a couple of novel things. So the part of the novel structure is that we sell corporate tables, but we only give the corporates 8 seats, and we plant 2 charities on each table. Therefore, it forces a conversation between business and charities, which is fabulous. But this year we introduced 2 innovations. One is that we had some videos of real people doing real work, real charities doing real work, and the beneficiaries of those charities. But we also asked a man who has gone through the domestic violence process from the perpetrator side to stand up and tell his story. And we thought, oh God, how's this going to go? You know, I vetted his script beforehand. I coached him in the delivery, but I thought, oh, I just don't know, you know. Anyway, so he stood up and said what he had done and how organisations that we had helped had saved him from losing 2 families, that stopped him from being homeless, stopped him from having AVOs and DVOs taken out against him. And it was just, the whole place was just mesmerised. And that sort of very practical illustration, I think that's a substantial part of the storytelling process. There's no, it's no good me, you know, good old Peter Gordon standing up and saying, I need your help. You know, it's, if people can see where their $10 or their $1,000 goes, that's where the yes comes from.
And you said something before we turned on the recording about why some businesses do and why some businesses don't. And your answer to that was?
It's the power of getting to yes. So, as I said, you know, no one has told me I'm not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But when I talk to people, they don't reach in their pockets and say, here, do this. So I've got to find a way of turning good thoughts and good wishes into action, whether the action's money, you know, builders building a kitchen in the community centre at Charnwood, whatever it might be, you know. So, and I can do that, but I can't, it's not Peter Gordon just going to having every conversation and getting this person to do that and that person to do that. We've got to create a whole sense of people in the community looking out the window and saying, I haven't done anything for a while, what can I do?
I love that concept, the power of saying yes. And I think that's sort of where you sit, you know, when we're talking about some people do and some people don't, that cusp of having a good intention and following through with action, it is really only the simple decision, which is to say yes. Yes, I will do something. I will contribute something. I think often people don't have a sense of what they can do, or they feel overwhelmed by the massiveness of the issue that they're looking at, whether it's homelessness or people with disabilities or whatever the cause that they feel drawn to. They feel, I suspect, insignificant in contrast to making a difference there. And I think what you're demonstrating with Hands Across Canberra is that a lot of little yeses make one big piece of action. And so you don't need to be a multi-billionaire in order to make a difference. And you said earlier that if every person in Canberra helped by giving $100, that would be what?
$30 million.
$30 million.
Per year
for the Canberra community. And you're right, the world does shift when we have that kind of leverage. And that's a small yes that when you combine together as a whole makes a big lever. And I think that's the power of the concept of Hands Across Canberra. So it doesn't require everybody to be gazillionaires in order to make a difference, though I'm thrilled that there are gazillionaires making a difference in a big way with their own handful of cash or several handfuls of cash.
Yeah.
Small handfuls do actually add to the bigger pot. And I think Hands Across Canberra as a collective, as a pool, can make that grow into something enormous.
Yeah, so if it was $10 a year per person, that's three million a year. That'd be pretty good, So the Melbourne Lord Mayor's trying to give away about $10 million a year with their big investments. You know, I think we could get to that quite. That, and that's taken them 100 years to get that big. And Melbourne's obviously much, much bigger than Canberra.
Yeah.
I reckon we could get to $5 or $6 million a year if I can find this trick to the yes.
I think examples of people saying yes and the opportunity to say yes and making it easier for people to say yes is helpful. And people knowing that, I think, as you said, showcasing the videos of where the money actually goes, that's the stuff that is meaningful. So when I was at that lunch, and when that gentleman stood up and told his story of domestic violence and how he found himself caught in patterns of anger and negative behavior that were destroying his family, and how he had the courage to seek help and to deal with that. That is pretty astounding amount of courage to stand up in front of 300 people and tell that story, which would have been very difficult in terms of reliving those painful experiences of shame and I'm imagining anger and betrayal and devastation, and to be transformed through that experience, through the support of different local charities that Hands Across Canberra helped with. There was a lot of people going, wow. It actually does work. It does actually make a difference to this man and to that man's family. And that matters, you know. I think that's compelling. And to think my little contribution can be leveraged with everybody else's to help more and more people.
Yeah.
You feel like you're less isolated and more part of something bigger.
Yeah. I'll give you another example.
Great.
So I've got a million examples. So in most Australian major organisational enterprise agreements or whatever they're called, workplace undertakings, many people, if not most, in public service organisations and the white-collar organisations that categorised the Canberra labour market, all have at least one day, sometimes two, sometimes up to 4 days, paid volunteering days in their agreements. Because of this I don't know what to do thing, in other words, the absence of yes, almost... my guess is that probably less than 25% of those days are actually used. So here we have this volunteer workforce, paid volunteer, if that's a proper English expression of the word, a paid volunteer workforce of just say 100,000 person days available, which evaporates every year because of the lack of whatever the right word is.
Don't know what to do, where to do it, how to do it. Yeah.
100,000. So if I had 100,000 people for a day, I could change the trajectory of the orbit of the Earth.
Oh, that gave me goosebumps.
And it evaporates in Canberra every year.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
It is. So somehow or other, we've got to find a way of unlocking the economic potential of that.
So it's not just about the $100 or the $10 per person. It's also about the time and energy that people have that they can contribute to different causes.
Or the willingness of employers to embed that gift in their employment agreements, which is never what the right word is. It's never realised. The gift is never realised.
Yeah. I love that, and to embed it into the corporate organization. And when I interviewed Andrew Sykes from RSM, he talked about having a social agenda incorporated as part of your DNA of your business. And I think this whole idea of releasing people for a day as part of their enterprise agreement is pretty critical. And certainly I know Konica Minolta, based out in Sydney, the managing director there, David Cook, he's actually instituted that as part of his business platform, as part of their social giving, is that the staff are released for a number, I think it's more than a day, a number of days throughout the year to go and do hands-on charity work if they want to. Not everybody wants to. Some donate their money instead, and some donate their skill. And I think all those things, and Di Cargas talks about this all the time, treasure time and talent, if you find a way of helping employees do one or all of those three as part of your business DNA. I know what Dr. David Cook found is that the sense of fulfillment at work through your work is enormous. So there's a benefit to the individual employee. There's a benefit to the organization because they create an environment that is has multiple purposes for the stakeholders, the clients, the business owners, and also for the community. That it's a powerful recipe for feel-good factor and also making an enormous difference on the planet. So I love that. So incorporating people power days as part of a business's enterprise. And if you're looking at tangible returns, the cost-benefit analysis is enormous, really, you know, in terms of having staff feel loyal and proud of their enterprise. That's a difficult thing to buy and to create and to legislate. And you just give them the opportunity to have heart-centered activity. That's brilliant.
The challenge with that is that having, you know, there are 4,000 people in the employment department here. So can 4,000 people just walk out one day and go to the YMCA and paint fences or, you know, that's the challenge. So part of my reflection is that maybe there is an alternative way of unlocking that potential. Maybe it's not 4,000 people. Maybe it's a couple of people for a longer period than a day. Maybe it's different. You know, maybe we say, I don't want you to come, just give me the money for the day. You know, that's what's a day's wage? $500? I don't know.
Depends where you work, I suppose. But I think it comes back to the individual. Not everybody wants to do hands-on volunteering.
So they should be paid. They should pay me not to.
Yeah, that's your get-out-of-jail-free. Let's change that terminology. That is your ticket to feel good. And there's different ways of doing ticket to feel good. And I think the important thing is to say yes to at least one of them. You know, give yourself the chance of the feel-good factor and the opportunity to make a difference in somebody else's life. Any advice you have for local businesses in terms of getting involved in community?
Well, yeah, to do it. Find something and do it. For example, you know, that the Canberra City Care at Charnwood, they operate this fantastic facility. They've got a food rescue service. They've got, you know, an op shop. They've got a technology facility where people that donate all their old computers, they get fixed and sell them back into the community for $100 each. So people never have to be isolated, electronically at least. They've got a financial advisory service. But they want to build a community kitchen. So, you know, I met with them for a variety of reasons. I said, what, to build a kitchen? She said, And the first thing they had to do was put in a $20,000 grease trap. $20,000 for a grease trap.
Wow.
Anyway, so they're expensive things. I said, oh, I reckon I could get you a kitchen. So I went to my builder friend and said, yeah, come with me. He said, we'll cross the road to his mate who runs a stainless steel business. And apparently he makes every commercial kitchen in Canberra.
Oh, wow.
And so for every commercial kitchen he makes, he's put that in and taken out the old one.
Yeah.
So he's got all the second-hand ones as well.
Yeah.
I said, we want... He said, oh, okay. Just had to be asked. Had to be given the opportunity to see a need, something that he could do, which wasn't particularly painful. And all of a sudden, you know, the old tongue and groove kitchen's going to be a bloody charm, you know,
that's
doing
fantastic.
Good work.
Yeah.
So, but they just needed... They needed to be shown the way. You know, so why people don't look... I don't know. People just get busy. Everyone busy doing their things. They're busy being busy. No one says no. But they've got to be found a way. They've got to be shown the way to turn good thoughts, decent thoughts, into actual action.
And I think it's the power of saying yes and creating the opportunity for them to say yes. And I love that you're doing that with Hands Across Canberra. And it's what we're doing at our event, The Edge of Leadership, in March, giving people the chance to explore how they might say yes to the different charities and social contributions they could make. So it's more meaningful for them and makes a big difference in the community. I think that's a great place to end. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to us about Hands Across Canberra.
It's a pleasure.
I'm thrilled that people are going to get an opportunity to spend some time with you at our event next year. So thanks, Pete.
Okay, thank you.